Muslims are saying.
I just don't understand it.
Right, I understand.
Well, not for them. And what was the phone number?
289-0500. And then listen, 911-904#. We'll be starting the conference shortly. Good evening. Welcome to the class number 3 in Venetia. This class is the first class that gives you tools. The first two classes we went over kind of what is Kabbalah and what is the purpose behind creation. We went over a lot of other subjects as well. But this class, normally, if you remember, I started with Hebrew prayers and with a reading from the Zohar. Tonight we're going to discuss both of those, so I will do them within the context of the class rather than at the beginning of the class. Do you have any questions from previous week?
Not right now, no. Okay. Usually it comes up as the conversation starts going and my brain starts working.
Understand. you can ask me during the week also, send me an email, whatever.
Like, come up with something. Okay.
Some questions you want to do. Once you start using the tools, and remember our rule, never believe anything I say, but please do what I ask you to do.
Okay.
It will not be too onerous. Time-wise, it's very limited, and I know with all the children you have that it's never easy to find 5 minutes, but...
I've learned to find ways.
Understood. And that's the kind of thing, because it's important that you should do that. Okay. So the first tool I'm going to describe to you is something that I know you won't do, but I would hope that you would in a few weeks as you begin to understand what's involved here. All of the three tools I'm going to give you tonight deal with the Hebrew letters. So we need to understand what the Hebrew letters are. They're not letters like A, B, C, D. They are creations that have as one of their purposes transferring metaphysical energy into the physical world. In the Bible, in the early verses, it says, "Let there be light, and there was light. Let there be water, and there was water. Let there be land, let the water separate." All of these words are made up of letters. All of these letters, when they come together in words, manifest what the word is. So the essence of a word is like a name. A name of somebody is a metaphor for their soul. A word is a metaphor for what is the physical item. It's even more than that. It's what is the spiritual item. Because everything in the spiritual world has a source, a root, it's referred to as, in the spiritual world. So that table this table, there's a table in the spiritual world as well. Does it look like this? No. But it is a table, and it is the root and the cause of this table being in the physical world. The letters are the codes and the tools that we have in order to reach that, in order to utilize that. 30 years ago, 40 years ago, 50 years ago, if I made those statements, society, people would not understand. But today we've been taught by science about DNA. The whole human being is made from one set of DNA, correct? Did you ever see one?
Can't say that I have.
None of us have, not even the scientists. They're too small. But we all believe it because on the level of our soul, we know that the letters are the DNA of creation. And that's something that is why these tools work, but they're not logical. It's not something that I can say to you, do this, and this will be the result. That's logic. All I can say is do this and you will see miracles. How many miracles, where the miracles will be, that's really up to you, because many people see miracles and they call it coincidence.
And it's your interpretation.
And it's exactly. And so I'm not defining that. What I'm saying is if you use these tools, or I should say when you use these tools, because my worldview says every human being will be using these tools eventually. The question is whether it's this lifetime, next lifetime. They're all gifts of mercy from the Creator to allow us to learn to have a chaos-free life, to stop creating chaos in our life. And by doing what I'm going to ask you to do with the letters, you will find that 3 months from now, 4 months from now, you look back and you say, I'm a different person. And actually, you won't say it. Your friends will say it. Your friends are going to say, you've changed. There's something different about you. Did you get a new hairdo? No. Did you get a haircut? No. You lose what? No. They won't know what changed, but they will know that you changed. And this is the sensitivity that people have towards each other based on our intuition. One of the things to understand about the Hebrew letters is there are four levels to them. One is their shape. The shape of the letters transfers energy as well as the sound, as well as the what's called the trope, because when we read with a song, a chant, and that's defined by the letter. And there's a fourth letter, if I can show it to you in here. If you look at the letters, you'll see little tags, little crowns that come out of some of them. That's part of the letter. That's part of transferring the metaphysical energy.
So if it's missing that, it means something completely different. Or the letter itself is completely different.
There are 22 letters. Some of them have no tags. Some of them have one tag, and some of them have three tags. None of them have two tags. What the tags are, we don't need to go into. It's deep Kabbalah, and it's just not necessary in order to use the tools. One of the ways, the metaphor we use to explain the way the letters work, you know how to use a remote control to turn on your TV and change channels and turn the volume up and down, change the color a bit, etc. You know how to build the remote. The letters can build creation, just like someone can build a remote control. But you you don't need to do so in order to use them. The letters will cause the physical world to change.
But there are people who, even knowing, once you know, then you may want to know how to build.
The question is, mm-hmm. if you have a desire to know how to raise the dead, resurrect the dead, if you have a desire to change the course of the river, if you have a desire that you're about to have an accident and you move the car out of the way, if you what you're talking about is the ability
to
change.
What you're saying.
The ability to change creation. That's what the letters do, because as I said, the letters build words, and the words manifest creation. So if somebody, a car is coming to hit me, I have the ability, if I knew how to use the letters, to have that car go right through me, or have that car stop, or have that car go up in the air and end the thing. All of which is people in this world have these abilities. We call them psychic abilities. And I give a whole series of 5 or 6 classes on psychic abilities in the advanced classes. But even then, it's just baby steps. There are people that are on the level of literally the Creator has delegated to them responsibility for the physical laws of this world and when to abrogate them, when to change them. Like the splitting of the Red Sea, like the 10 plagues in Egypt, like these different miracles and wonders that we speak of from the Bible that most modern people say it's metaphor. And yes, it is metaphor. There's a different meaning to it than just the physical thing happening. But the physical thing did happen also. There are 22 letters. 3 of them are referred to as mother letters. 12 of them are referred to as basic letters, and 7 are referred to as double letters. The double letters means they have 2 sounds. The same letter will be spoken as a B and a V, or a P and an F, or a T and an S. Or a sh and a s. So those are the double letters. But again, we don't need to know this. It's just information to help. The basic idea is your eyes are the window to your soul. You've heard the adage before. What does it mean? It means literally you receive energy through your eyes that your soul interprets. When you read English, you're receiving energy, but it's nowhere near the power that comes from the Hebrew letters. In the story of the Tower of Babel, in the Bible, and I don't know if you know it, doesn't matter. The story of the Tower of Babel is that people became unified and worked together to build a tower to go up to heaven and overcome God. Sounds like an absurd goal, doesn't it?
Well, I'm sure back then it was some great incentive idea.
Well, it's we do it today.
Yeah, in our own.
In our own way. You know, we think we go to school today, or we go to work today, or we're doing things with our family today. But we're really doing things that the Creator wants us to do. And sometimes we don't want to do those things. So we fight it. And that's what the idea of the Tower of Babel was. So what God did and what we learned from it really clearly, God came down to this world to see what the people were doing. And he couldn't destroy the world again. mean, he promised not to flood the world again, but he could have destroyed it in other ways, volcanic activity, hitting it by a comet. You know, if he wanted to destroy the world, it could be done. But he couldn't destroy the world because people were in unity. Their unity wasn't for a good cause. It would be like the unity to conquer the world. We want, as a group, we want to conquer the world, and we're in unity. Nobody can affect us. So what he had to do was change the language. And he created 70 languages for those 70 nations. And those languages do not have the same power as the Hebrew language. But we learn from that story through Gematria and other understandings that are built into the codes of the Bible, we learn that the Hebrew language, the holy language it's referred to by most people in this world, the Hebrew language, what is the language of the spiritual world? It is the language of God, and it is part of the creation that transfers spiritual energy to the physical. And it does so through our eyes. That's how the soul receives energy. Now, I'm using energy a lot. And what does energy mean?
Everything is
made up of energy. That's what Einstein taught us with E equals mc squared. Everything is energy, and everything can be converted to mass. There's a straight formula. Always works every time. Energy is happiness. Energy is fulfillment. It's pleasure. Energy is pain. Energy is money. Energy is physical things that give us pleasure. Energy is fulfillment. So I use the word energy, and sometimes I'll use the word fulfillment, and we're talking about the same thing. So, the way the universe cycles, and it goes through cycles, the way it cycles is every week a different energy comes into the universe, a different form of fulfillment, a different reason for human beings to change and make correction and remove red of shame, all of the things we talked about last week. But that energy comes in a way that sometimes causes us pain and also can give us pleasure. But we don't know what that energy is. But the Torah teaches us what that energy is. The Torah that for 3,800 years, the Jewish nation has read the Torah Saturday morning. Why Saturday? Because it's the seventh day of the week. It's the Shabbat. The day that God rested. It has many other meanings, energy-wise, fulfillment-wise. It's a true gift. I have a whole class on the gift of Shabbat. Suffice it to say, the Jewish people have Shabbat on Saturday. The Christians have it on Sunday, because when the church developed out of Judaism, the church said, the Jews do it on Saturday, we need to be different, so we're going to do it on Sunday. 600 years later, the Muslims developed, and they said, we can't do it Saturday, we can't do it Sunday, we do it Friday. And now you know why we have three Shabbats based on the religions. But ultimately, we have 7 days of creation in the Bible. Now, 7 into 365 days in a year does not, it's not even. It's comes out with a remainder, a fraction. In all of human society, there has never been a society that said, let's have a week that's 5 days. Let's have a week that's 15 days that'll divide into 365 more easily. We've never had this. No human society has ever tried to change these 7 days. The 7 days represent the tree of life. The 7 days correspond to the 7 colors in the rainbow, correspond to the 7 notes in music, correspond to the 7 continents, correspond to the 7 seas. And I could give you 400 other lists of 7 in our physical world. There is a reason behind that, and it starts with the 7 days of a week. Shabbat is a very special fulfillment, a very special energy. On Shabbat, for 3,800 years, the Jews have read the Torah. They've divided the Torah into parashah portions. So over the course of a year, they read the whole Bible, the whole 5 books of Moses. Or they read over a 3-year cycle, the whole portion. Different groups of Jews read different patterns, different rates. But what they're doing is by hearing the Torah read, they're receiving the energy of protection from that energy that's coming in Saturday night. First day of creation is Sunday. Sunday starts sundown Saturday. It says in the Bible, Erev, evening and morning, 1 day. Evening and morning, 2 days. And so forth. The evening is the beginning of the day. So Saturday night at sundown, an energy comes into the universe for the next week. God always gives the cure before the disease. If you ever get poison ivy, you want to know where the cure is? It's right next to it. And that's just one example. There are many examples. God always gives us the cure before the disease. It takes scientists a little longer to find it, but that's beside the point.
I'm getting a little confused, I think, with the different names of all the books. There's
the Bible, Zohar,
Books of Moses.
5 books of Moses.
So there's so many names. Is it all the same thing?
No. Yes and no. Yes and no. The Bible and the Torah, let me rephrase it. The Torah consists of the 5 books of Moses, and that is sometimes called Torah, just that. The Torah consists of the 5 books of Moses, the 24 books of the prophets, the X number of books of what we call writings, the Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes. There's 6 of them, I believe. Then the Zohar is considered the soul of the Bible. It's explaining what is the essence of the Torah.
So the Bible.
The Bible and the Torah is the same.
The Torah.
The Bible comes from. The Bible is what English people call the Torah.
Okay.
And then the Bible consists of the Old Testament and the New Testament. The Torah is only the Old Testament. So, getting back to where we were. No, that's fine. Every Saturday morning, by hearing the Torah read, which is really the 5 books of Moses, and a portion of the prophets. When you hear this, you are receiving the energy of protection against the energy that will come in that night and be around for a week. To cause change, to give you the opportunity to make things work, to change yourself, to make correction with people, to do the spiritual work of why we are in this world. If you don't hear the Torah, you're losing the best tool you have for protection. So the first tool I'm saying to you, and I'm saying you won't do it, because where are you going to go? You have to go to a Jewish synagogue. You're not Jewish. You don't feel comfortable doing it, and I understand. But that's what I said. Mm-hmm. In a few weeks, as you begin to use the other tools and you start to see how this works, you're going to find I'm going to be pointing out to you certain patterns. As you see those patterns, you're going to start to become amazed. How do I know this? And, oh, that's... As one person said to me yesterday, you tell me about it, and within a week or 10 days, I see it in my life. And I said, that's because I'm telling you 10 days beforehand. I send out a weekly email telling you what the energy is going to be in 10 days so you can prepare for it. But it's all part of that same process. So the first tool is to hear the Torah. If you don't want to go to a Jewish synagogue, you can buy a Hebrew Bible. It's called the Tanakh. And learn what section to scan, because you do not have to read. Remember, it's the energy is there. So read it yourself. It costs $50. It takes you 10, 15 minutes on Saturday morning to scan the section. Yes, you don't understand it. Yes, you don't know it. Yes, you will want to read it in English. And all of that is valid and good and will help you receive the fulfillment. You won't receive all that you can receive, but you will receive some of it.
Which is more than I'm getting now.
Correct. Now you're not even aware of the cycle. You're not even aware of what's happening. It comes into your life, and you either react to it or you don't react to it, but you're not in control of it. By hearing the Torah or by reading it, scanning it, you get some semblance of control or the ability to control. Now, the second tool that I'm going to describe is the Zohar. The Zohar is written in Hebrew letters, but it's not Hebrew, it's Aramaic. It's a different language. Because Hebrew will transfer negativity. Hebrew will transfer the energy of the angel of death, which is the most negative thing in our world. What's worse than death? Suffering can end. Death doesn't. Except it will come to an end, but that's another story. I'm going to read from a verse from the Zohar, which I do each time, because the Zohar is something that is called holy. Holy means what? Nobody knows. We do know, but it's very difficult to explain it. Holy is a positive force in your life. Holy is something we strive to continue to grow into and expand. By reading the Zohar, I bring the energy of holiness into the classroom. Vayehi Noam Adonai Eloheinu Aleinu Ma'aseh Yadeinu Kenanei Aleinu Ma'aseh Yadeinu Kenanei. Verse 147. V'kabel ilein it la v'matronita ma'ashir yan mizu yanin. That's one verse, just for the connection. Corresponding to them, the queen, who is Malchut, has armed camps of angels. These armed camps have 60 faces. They are all girded with swords encircling the Mahout. Many are leaving and many are coming. With six wings, they fly over the whole world. Fiery coals are lit before each one so that its garments are a flaming fire. And at his back is the blade of the sword that flames in the whole world to guard before her. This is what is written, and the bright blade of a revolving sword to guard the way to the tree of life.
So they're guarding the tree of life?
They're guarding the tree of life. They're guarding access. When Adam sinned, he was expelled from the garden. The way back to the garden, the way back to the tree of life, the way back to the end of death is guarded by angels with this revolving sword. These are metaphors for us to understand. And what the Zohar is doing is explaining what the metaphor is and how to overcome it in our life.
Is the Zohar written within the last 100 years?
The Zohar was written 2,000 years ago. And there is a group, which we refer to as the academic Kabbalists, who say it was written 1,000 years ago. They argue
when.
People who are practicing Kabbalists never argue this. They say it was written by Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai 2,000 years ago. No ifs, no ands, no buts. This is truth. The academics say otherwise. We don't argue with them. They're using scientific, physical explanations. We know intuitively that what it's being said is correct. The academic Kabbalists do not practice Kabbalah. They study it as another language. They study it as another... They're scientists, correct. The Kabbalists are people who live Torah.
That's interesting to me that there's a group of people willing to study something out of science. Obviously there's something to it if there's a group of willing people to do science.
Not only that, but there's whole departments in universities all over the world in the last 75 years.
Wow.
It was before that there wasn't any of this. It was one man who was looking around for something to do, and he went to his uncle, who was a practicing Orthodox Jew. And they're talking about what he's going to do with his life. And he looks around, and he says, what about these books over here? And the uncle said, those books, it's all truth, it's all Torah, but nobody reads it. It's all crap, because it's mystical. We don't understand it, we don't deal with it, stay away from it. So he said, okay, if it's true, this is where I'm supposed to go. And he proceeded to study it from a scientific point of view, or from a logical point of view, but from a historical point of view, none of which gets you to the truth.
Right. That leaves a veil, it leaves a mask, it leaves a cover.
Exactly. The tool I'm offering you is to scan the Zohar every day. A paragraph, 10 verses, whatever is comfortable for you.
Without having to actually digest it, just scan it.
You don't understand it. You're reading a language, you're not even reading it, you're looking at the letters. And you have no idea what you're looking at, you have no understanding of it, and you're going to feel absolutely foolish. But it works. It takes 5 minutes a day or less. Where do you find it? You have three basic choices. You can spend $500 for a set of 23 books and open them and read them. You can spend $15 for a book that has no English at all, but just scan it every day, a paragraph or whatever, however long you want. Or you can go online for free in two places. One place has these set of books online, and the other sends you a paragraph every day into your email.
That's convenient.
So the place that you go is, you can go to it. I'm going to give you the link, but the link is on my website, yashem.com, which you know. You got the papers from it. On the right side of the link, right side of the pages, as you scroll down, you'll see where it says Kabbalistic Connections. And there are two there. One says dailyzohar.com. Go to that place and register your email, and you'll start receiving in your email every day a paragraph.
And it's in Hebrew letters.
It's in Hebrew letters. It is never translated. There is somebody who does a summary of it, but he will not translate it. The summary's purpose is to satisfy people who feel foolish just doing the scanning. But it's really, the energy is in the letters, not in the understanding. The other link, it just says Zohar by itself. And when you go to that, if you decide to do that, it'll take me about 2 minutes to explain how to use it, which book it's coming from, how to keep track of it from 1 week to the next so that you're always staying current with the energy that's coming into the cosmos. But please, do this.
Okay.
This is a tool that is amazing.
If it's tool one, it must be important.
Well, it's tool two. The important one I know you're not going to do.
Right. Yes.
But, yes, but I do expect by the end of 6 months you'll be doing it. Because you'll see what happens. Tool three is the papers we're going to go over. When God created the world, he used a name of his, which a name of God means an attribute of God. It's called the 42-letter name of God. It's the energy of creation. Now, can I hold the Big Bang in my hand?
I've never seen it happen. No.
By saying this, we bring the energy of the Big Bang into our life.
Oh.
But what we bring is the energy of balance into our life. We bring the idea you don't need to do it. There's somebody on there. Have fun. What is the energy of balance? It's easy to understand it is when you're tired but you can't sleep. We've all had those times. What's the energy of balance? Is it for you to get up or for you to go to sleep? Whatever the energy of balance is, that's what you will receive when you say this 42 words. But it's really not 42 words. It's the first letter of each of those 42 words. But we say the words because we need a vessel to hold the energy of creation. And that's the understanding of what this is. It's also related to the astrological energies or fulfillment. It's related to the days of the week. And it's related to healing because balance implies healing. So in the course of what I'm going to demonstrate to you, this is where we will arrive. Now, on YouTube, if you type in Anabekoah, you will get like 400 different videos of different songs that people use to sing this. I would sing one that resonates with me. My suggestion to you is to go to the and hear them and pick one that resonates with you.
How do I write that in English so that I can use it for it?
It's there.
Oh, it's in this chat. Or is it on that?
First two words, Anna or Koa.
Okay.
let me have the papers back to show it to you again. This page, which is the has all seven, you'll count there are eight verses. The eighth verse is not considered part of the, but we always say it, because the eighth verse grounds the energy. Any excess energy gets put into the earth, so it doesn't stay around in harmony, God forbid. Okay. Right to left.
That's why I was off. I mean.
Right to left and top to bottom. What's printed here is the letters themselves. There, each verse has six words. There are seven verses, 42 words. That's what we're saying. Now, I'm going to sing it. It's a meditation at the same time. When you first start, it's going to take you 10, 15 minutes to do because you feel you're doing it wrong. It's complicated. It's new and it's something foreign. Just keep trying.
Okay.
You can't do it wrong. So just try.
That's nice to know.
Now, every day of the week, stop at a different verse and connect with angels of that day that are angels of protection. So that's what the balance of those pages are. Let me go through and kind of explain this. The second page you have is called the Tikkun HaNefesh, and that's something we will do and change the verse once a month, and I'll explain that as we go through it. These, if you turn this over, these are the same thing, but I focus on the larger letters being the first letter. I give you much more information than what's there. But this is a simple one to get started. There's information that eventually you need to include in your interactions. That's the true of the second and third page. But then, each day of the week, these are angels. You'll just scan them right to left and top to bottom. So on Sunday, you're just going to do the here. On Monday, you do those verses. All 7 days are represented there. So we're now ready to show you what this is. What the tool is the energy of creation. Before I do the example, I'm going to tell you a story, a true story, to show you the power, to show you what can be accomplished, or not, as you choose to. Believe me, don't believe me, it doesn't matter. My teacher was in Paris. There's a Kabbalah center all over many different cities in the world. One of them is in Paris, and he was there the way he teaches Kabbalah, which is different than what I do. He teaches by going to the different centers and making sure that what's taught in each center is the same thing. So he was in Paris, and he did a meditation, and he got a message. How he gets messages, what is his, it's a personal thing. He got a message. This is in 1994. I want you to go to Libya. Now, my teacher is an Orthodox Jew. He wears a kippah. He wears black suits. He looks like an Orthodox Jew. Libya is not friendly to Orthodox Jews. It's not friendly to Jews. And in the 90s, it was even worse than it is today. Because in Libya is the home of the Palestine Liberation Organization's government in exile in 1994. So he gets on a plane. One of the people that is a student, he gets the message, he asks around. One of them says, yeah, my family's been in Libya for generations until De Gaulle threw us out, or De Gaulle separated and gave them their freedom and they threw us out. So we all came to Paris and I still do business there, so no problem. The two men get on a plane and they go Philippians. They don't have visas. They don't have... Ralph has an American passport. He goes to customs and he gets passed. Doesn't make sense. Going through, he gets to the hotel, and the student says to him, "What are we doing here, Ralph?" Ralph looks at him and says, "I have no idea. Let's have dinner and then we'll go to sleep and we'll figure it out then." The next morning, the student says, "What are we here for? What are we doing?" "Let's get a cab." Gets in the cab and he says, "Take me to the government in exile of the PLO. So the cab takes him there. And he gets out. Now, a government in exile knows it has enemies. It knows it hires security guards to protect it. People who get out on its corner are looked at, are glossed at.
And dressed the way he was, even worse.
Even more so. What does he do? He gets out of the cab. He's not going into the building. It's not his job. He walks around the building 7 times saying this prayer. It's all he did. Gets back into the cab, back to the hotel, back to the airport, back to Paris. The next day he flies to New York home. All of what I told you up till now is true and can be verified by many people. What I'm going to say now is my personal opinion. But to give you this understanding, I have to remind you of something that you probably don't know from what you said before. In the Torah, when it talks about the plagues in Egypt, it says that God hardened Pharaoh's heart. And I've said to you that God only does good things. So what does hardening Pharaoh's heart mean? It sounds like it's a horrible thing. He hardens his heart. He hardens his heart in order to give him more pain. But that's not really what happened. The Kabbalists explain that the phrase hardening of the heart brought him back to a level of free will. He forgot the pain of the previous plagues. He forgot the discomfort of his people. He got to a point where he could choose what he wanted. If he was feeling the pain of the plague, he's got no free will. By forgetting it, by hardening his heart, it causes him to be brought to a level of free will. That's what balance represents. Now the PLO, its government, all of these people have been taught hate since they're children. They don't know from loving Jews by any stretch of the imagination. Their culture is about hate at this point in time. He walks around the building 7 times. I believe that when the minutes of their government in exile comes out, we will see that they were taking a vote on something called the Oslo Accords. Because 4 months later, there was an announcement of the first attempt at peace between the PLO and the Jewish state. I believe that what took place and what he was told to do was bring the energy of creation, the energy of balance, to that building so that when they voted to whether to sit down with the Israelis or not, to proceed with the Oslo Accords or not, that energy of balance brought them to a level where they could choose free will instead of their preordained hatred. Now, the Oslo Accords were announced in 1994. They didn't work, but that was the first opportunity, the first attempt. That's what this power is there. Now, Anna Bekoa.
Gedula Chimincha Tati Serura Alephet Gimel Yutak Tzadi. That's these letters here. I'm saying a seventh word. The gematria of these six letters is 506. That gematria is equal to the phrase ahavatinam, which translates as unconditional love. This is the first month, the month of Shavat that we are in presently, connects to the first verse. The letters of the month of Shvat are Tzadi, that created the constellation Aquarius, the constellation Dali, the water bucket, the water carrier, the Bet, that created the planet Shabtai, the planet Saturn. Together, they have a gematria of 92. Gematria is number value. 92 is a number that shows the unity of the physical and the spiritual world. Second verse. Now, you can stop right there and meditate for an hour, or you can move on. It depends on how much time you have in your life. Most of us have a half a minute, so. And especially
as I do. Okay, then, if you were to be this on one day and you meditate on that, then perhaps the next day you go to the next. Or
no,
you go with what you see.
You are. We recommend that you always do all eight verses.
Always complete the entire, and that's why you're saying you have to ground the energy before you complete your session.
Right. But you may choose to stop and meditate on any one of them longer than the others. So one day you might meditate on the first verse and another day another verse, but we recommend that you say all of them all the time. Second verse. Kabel rinat amcha sagvenu tacharenu nora ufreshayim suntet nun. These six letters spell two Hebrew words. Kra, Satan. Kra means tear up, and Satan is the name of the negative force that gives us free will. The same six letters can be rearranged to spell Sha'ar Katan, which means small gates. And it reminds us to guard our gates, the eyes, the ears, the nose, and the mouth, which are the entry point for the negative system. Third verse. Na gibor dorshe yehudcha kevava shamrem nun gimel dalet yud kaf shin. Nun gimel dalet has a gematria of 57, which is equal to the Hebrew word zan, which means parnasah, or sustenance. Yud Kaf Shin is a sequence that helps take back the energy we've given to the negative side through our mistakes. Normally, and I do this on purpose, the first verse, or the verse whenever the letters of the month come into, we stop and do this scanning, which is the name of God in the frame of mercy, with different vowels and different sequences. I've numbered the way that it's scanned. This actually represents parts of your body. And so you're bringing healing through God's mercy to all parts of your body. So you do the first box in the middle, and that box is your skull. The second box is the right brain. The third box, the left brain. The fourth box is your right eye. The fifth box, your left eye. The sixth box, your right ear.
the seventh box to your right, your left ear. The eighth line is your right nostril. The ninth is your left nostril. The tenth is your mouth. The 11th is your right arm. The 12th, your left arm. The 13th is your body from the neck to the diaphragm. The 14th is your right leg from the diaphragm to the knee. The 15th is your left knee, left leg from the diaphragm to the knee. The 16th is your sex, but you go underneath the body and up the spine, because both the spine and your sex organ are related to that area. And the 17 are your feet, from the knee down, knee to the toe. You normally do this during Shvat with the first verse. When I say the letters of the month, you'll also do the scanning. If you forget and make a mistake, do it wrong. Any time before you do the eighth verse, do the scanning. If you do the scanning later than that, you said it, you finished, you put it away, and oh my God, I forgot, go do the scanning, and then say the eighth verse. The fourth verse, continuing where we were. And one thing I will caution you about is always cover these, or put them up. Better to cover them with a blank piece of paper rather than put them upside down. But it's better to put them upside down than to leave them open, because their energy, and it's they're broadcasting their energy, and you just have no idea what's around you. The fourth verse.
Would it be appropriate to do that?
Yes.
To each other?
Yes. Barchem tacharem rachamei zidkatcha Tamid Gamlen et Tetresh Sadi Tach Gimel. This sequence connects us to the Sefirah of Netzach. One of the attributes of Netzach is eternal victory. Eternal victory in the only war that matters. The war against your desire to receive for oneself alone. The war against your selfishness. The fifth verse. Chasin kadosh tirotuvcha na'el adatach. Chet kuf bet, chet nunayim. This sequence connects us to the Sefirah of Hod. Hod has an attribute of thankfulness and appreciation, and it reminds us to appreciate what we have received and to ask for more. Sixth verse. Yachid ge'e lamcha p'nei zokrei kedushatach yud gimel lamed ezayin kuf. This verse helps to speed the spreading of the wisdom of Kabbalah during this, the sixth millennium. This verse helps speed the spreading of the wisdom of Kabbalah during our generation. Seventh verse. Shavatenu kabel ushma tiakatenu yodea talumot shinkufav sadiyutav. The first two letters have a gematria of 400. 400 represents the four spiritual worlds times 10 sephirot within 10 sephirot. 400 is a number that relates to completion and perfection. When we reach completion, we will be perfect. We will be God. As long as we have not reached completion, we have not reached perfection. If what we have reached we think is completion, but it's not yet perfect, we're not at completion. The last four letters have a gematria of 506, the same as the first verse.
And it again connects us to the phrase ahavatinam, unconditional love. And we learn from this that the path to completion, the path to perfection, is through the injection of unconditional love in each step in our process. The eighth verse, we say in a whisper. A whisper means if someone is standing next to me, I can hear my words and they can't. But I say it out loud as part of the purposes of teaching so that you know what it sounds like or what you should be saying. Baruch Shem Kavod, Malchuto Leolam Vayed. This will take you, once a couple months go by and you're used to doing this, this will take you 2-3 minutes a day. The scanning of the Zohar will take you 2-3 minutes a day. Doing the connection, if you actually went to a synagogue, it will take you an hour a week on Saturday morning. They're not time-consuming. These tools are the beginning. They will cause you to change. They will cause you to change the way you want to change, bringing balance into your life, bringing happiness, fulfillment into your life, and helping you to remove chaos. That's the purpose. That's why they've been given to us as a tool. I hope you will use it, but don't believe a word I say. Do prove it to yourself. And the only way you can do that is to do it. That's the class.
And as you said, God always gives us your people and ailments. So.
Yes.
There's thank
this.
You.
When the student is ready, the teacher appears. We're calling the class over, and normally I give a lot of announcements, but this week, being in this class, we'll wait till next week. Because next week on Wednesday... Say again?
I said thank you, my friend. Have a safe trip home.
Thank you. Speak to you soon, Bob.